wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The faith that saves, we will see it in action. The world of our day is divided into two camps. The dividing issue is that vital thing, faith. In one camp, they retain faith in God, while in the other camp, they defy the Almighty God, and they even try to annihilate all faith. Thus, all faith in man gives place to hate, distrust, and subtle deceit. No wonder the communists and the infidels are so utterly miserable. No wonder they can't trust one another. The Bible reveals to us the true, the real faith that saves, and it labels and exposes the counterfeit faith. It tells us that the demons have a kind of faith, but they still remain devils. And some people claim they have faith, but theirs is a dead faith. For when it comes to living a godly life, they're as dead as a telegraph pole. Others have a historic faith, for they accept the fact of Jesus Christ living on earth and dying on the cross, but they have no personal experience of faith in him as their own Lord and Savior. Neither a dead faith nor a historic faith will satisfy our souls within nor change our lives without. We must have a saving faith, a living faith. And no man can say, I just can't believe, for God has given to all men faith. That is the capability to believe. Man believes his fellow men, the doctor and takes his medicine, the pilot and rides in his plane, and that same faith he must place in Christ for salvation. There is but one thing that keeps a man from believing to the saving of his soul, and that is he will not repent. Our Lord Jesus said, they repented not that they might believe. Saving faith is impossible to the unrepentant soul. You must first repent. When the alcoholic holds on to his liquor, he cannot believe. But when he breaks that liquor bottle, not only does the liquor run down the sewer where it belongs, but that man's faith reaches out to Jesus. When the witch doctor burns his tools of sorcery, when the idolater breaks his idols, when the false teacher burns his books, when the safe cracker delivers up his tools, when the liquor store owner burns his license, and when the harlot pours out her ointments. Thus they confess their sin, they forsake their sin, they desire a new life, and then is when their eyes will turn to Jesus, and they will experience that saving faith. Some preachers tell people, you don't have to give up anything to be a Christian. No wonder they have adulterers, drinkers, gamblers, and blasphemers in the church. They asked for it, and they got it, as everyone knows. But our holy God says, let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. So let us now see this saving faith enacted in one life. To one woman, our Lord Jesus Christ said, thy faith has saved thee. Truly, this is what we're looking for, saving faith. A faith that brings forgiveness of sins, real salvation, and peace with God within us. And to her, our Lord Jesus said, thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. This, then, is the faith that removes the stain of the past, that changes the present life and brightens the horizon of the future. There is nothing dead about this faith, for it lives in the heart and it manifests itself in a changed life. Neighbor, have you this saving, living faith? We shall now follow the history of the young woman who experienced this real saving faith. Here is a story as I gather up the threads of it in the Bible. We shall, and for good reason, call her Mary. Leaving her little village, bent on a wild life, she had what it took to attract the opposite sex. So to the big city she went. There she established herself just off the main street. Soon she became popular with the single men, and the married men could not resist her enticement. The law did not bother her, for some of them were her best customers. The pious religious people, like Simon the Pharisee, who needed no one to tell him who she was, those pious hypocrites made their long prayers in the marketplaces and at night knocked at the harlot's gate. Mary evaded the law, but her conscience troubled her. Her memory went back to her now dead parents. She had achieved her goal. Her unbridled lust for sex had its full opportunities. Yet her sighs and moans betrayed that she was learning the hard way the wretchedness of the slavery of sin. Her godly brother and sister back at home had lost all trace of her, but they ceased not to pray for Mary, and God in mercy looked down on that harlot's den. God's Spirit, who once spotted Rahab the harlot in condemned Jericho, now marked out Mary the prostitute to make her an example of saving faith, a faith that can transform even a prostitute. Well might God have given her up, but instead God in grace took her up. And neighbor, that is what God wants to do with you. Here's the way it happened. Our Lord Jesus was going about speaking words of grace and doing deeds of power. But who was he? Was he another religious pretender? Mary would see. One day she did see, and he saw her too. No words passed between them, but that night she couldn't sleep. For the first time she had looked on a majestic man and with no desire. Why was that? And when he looked at her, his eyes seemed to say, "Mary, poor Mary, I know you're miserable." Mary could not solve the mystery of who that Jesus of Nazareth could be. Was he the Christ, their Savior? The next day, all the town was talking about Levi's feast, and all were invited too. Mary gets all primped up, and she's on deck at Levi's big feast. But to her surprise, the guest of honor was that same Jesus of Nazareth. She watched him alone, and when he preached, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick," and he paused. Those words smote Mary, "They that are sick." She was certainly sick, for her sin had lost its thrill, and its sickening time had come. He continued, "I came not to call the righteous," and those religious folks winced. "But sinners to repentance." Sinners. That was her name and her character too. The repulsiveness of her degradation laid hold on her. She saw herself like a dog in the street. Her eyes no longer danced with allurement, but they fell in shame. She was ashamed of herself. Neighbor, have you ever been downright ashamed of yourself? But Jesus said, "I came to call sinners." There was hope and salvation then for a harlot? Yes, but only in Jesus. The lifeline of salvation was being thrown to that desperate sinner, Mary. Jesus was her only hope. But Jesus said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." She must repent. There could be no trifling with her sin. It could not be tolerated. It was repent or else. Arriving back at her den, its gay finery now looked like a mud hole to her, and she like a sow wallowing in its mire. One word rung in her ears, "Repent." The time had come for her to turn back to God, and her first move must be repent. She had despised hypocrites, now she must not be one. A customer knocks at her door, but this time she keeps the door bolted as she cried, "I must turn from my sin. I will. Oh, God, help me." Then her lust mastered her. She was about to call her customer back, but instead she knelt at her bed and cried, "Oh, God, have mercy on me. I'm such a sinner. I need someone to save me. I need Jesus." A divine light shone around her, for angels gathered near. A divine love touched her, for Jesus was seeking her. Then hearing that Jesus was in Simon the Pharisee's house, she becomes desperately in earnest. She gathers up her ointment, once used in her pursuit of sin. All of it she takes, and off to Simon's house she goes, to break it before the Lord, that he might see that she's truly repentant, turning from her sins. Breaking through every barrier, she goes direct to Jesus, falling at his feet. The crowd is furious. But Jesus understood. She sobs in bitterness of soul, and then through her tears of repentance, she reaches for her ointment and breaks it at Jesus' feet. Seeing her dirty tears on his holy feet, she wipes them off with her hair. She cannot choke out a word, but she clings to his feet. Those very feet were journeying to Calvary. From them his blood would flow for sinners. She clings to him as her only hope, her Savior. Then Jesus speaks, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Neighbor, do you want to see the faith that saves? There it is. Now tell me, have you experienced this saving faith in Jesus? You don't have to live a harlot's life, but you do have to forsake your sins and take Mary's hand and say, "My sister, I am as low a sinner as you, and I need Jesus as much as you do." You don't have to go to Simon's house, but you have to get to Jesus. Don't stop till you come into personal touch with the Lord Jesus, and you can say, "I am my Lord's, and he is mine." This, then, is the faith that saves. Real repentance concerning your sin and getting to Jesus Christ to know him as your own Lord and Savior. This saving faith will make a new person, heaven-born and heaven-bound, and therefore heaven-bent, seeking the things above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. But without it, you may be a church member or a church deacon, a child of Christian parents, or a Sunday school teacher. Yes, you may be a preacher, a priest, or a rabbi. But without this personal experience of saving faith in Jesus Christ, of you God decrees, "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Neighbor, you can experience this saving faith today. How? Fall on your knees before God and tell him, "Oh God, I'm a wicked sinner, but I want to be changed. I can't change myself. Lord Jesus, I call on thy name to save me and change me now." Then he will whisper to your heart, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And you will experience that faith that saves. Amen. But some of you will say, "I know I'm a sinner, but don't class me with the murderers and the thieves, and certainly not with a low-down harlot." But the Bible says there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you truly repent, I know from my own personal experience, you will see yourself so vile, so filthy, so wicked, you will count yourself the lowest sinner. It won't be hard for you then to take the hand of a harlot, the hand of a drunkard, the hand of a murderer, the hand of a thief, and say, "My brother, my sister, I was lost just like you, and I need the Lord Jesus to save me as much as you did." This is real repentance. Face the challenge of it. Don't fight it, but in tears of shame over your sins, go all the way in full repentance, a Bible repentance, and you will experience the faith that saves. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me.